Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my series that I've been doing for over a month talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. And today is our fifth teaching in this five-part set. This is entitled, God Loves Me Unconditionally. And I tell you, this teaching has transformed my relationship. I've said that a lot. You know, I've had people write into us and say, this just changed your life. You say everything changed your life. But that's because I only minister on the things that have changed my life. I just don't teach on things for the sake of teaching. I only minister on things that have ministered to me. And I'm telling you, this changed my life. And I believe it would do the same for you. Some of you have heard every single one of these programs and you think, I've got it. I saw these programs. I listened to it. But there's a difference in getting the materials. For one thing, you're going to need to go back over this. This is the kind of thing that is so different than our world. Even our religious world does not teach the unconditional love of God. And you need to be able to rehearse this and go back over it. Plus, you need to share it with other people. And then just to immerse yourself in it is really beneficial. So today's our last day, and I just want to encourage you to please get these materials. They would make a difference in your life. So I've been talking about that all of this boils down to, this ought to be the results that comes out of this teaching, is that you understand that God loves you unconditionally, and there is nothing you can do to make Him love you more, nor nothing that you can do to make Him love you less. That does not mean that your actions are unimportant. They don't change God's feelings towards you or His love towards you. But your actions do either shut a door on the devil or open a door to the devil. They also discredit your testimony, or they reconfirm your testimony to people. So it is important how you act. I'm not saying that you don't live right, but I am saying that God loves you unconditionally. And if you could get that, it would change your life. You know, a lot of people, one of the reasons that they are as mean as they are, and it seems like that they have a short fuse and they're constantly in strife with people, is because you can't give away what you don't have. And there are some of you that have never understood or received God's unconditional love. You've been taught that God only gives you what you deserve, and you are on this treadmill trying to perform and do all of these things to earn God's favor. And you constantly fall short, and you have never just been overwhelmed with God's unconditional love. You can't give that away if you've never received it. And so many of you are just reproducing the same thing that you think God is doing with you. You think God is critical of you, and because you didn't study the Bible this morning, you got up late, and you didn't have time to do your daily devotionals. Therefore, God's not going to answer your prayer. You're on your own. If you get in a car wreck, God's not going to be there because you haven't lived up to your commitment or whatever. If you think that His love for you is conditional like that, then guess what? You'll turn around and you'll only give love to people conditionally. And only when they deserve it will you be kind to people. And the truth is, all of us are fallen human beings, and none of us really deserve other people treating us good all of the time. You know, praise God for the grace that people give me. I don't deserve, I'm not the perfect person. You know what? But I have people that love me in spite of who I am. And I'm able to love others that way, even when they've done things to me. I won't go into any details, but I've had a lot of people speak against me, as all ministers do. I've had some terrible things done. I've had people malign me. Some of them have been my very best friends. And, you know, I've had other friends, I've had people on my board say to me when they saw the way I responded, they say, man, I hope that all of my enemies could be like you. Because, I mean, people that have done me real wrong, I just forgive them and let it go. You know why I can do that? Because I've been forgiven when I don't deserve to be forgiven. And because I've received it, I can turn around and forgive others. But if you think God only treats you the way you deserve, you'll never be able to walk in a supernatural love and forgiveness with other people. That is really powerful. I tell you, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to many of you today. and showing you what the root cause is. It's not what people are doing to you. It's not these circumstances. It's not the external things. You know what it is? It's the fact that you haven't really understood God's unconditional love. And I can tell you, after I had this experience with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968, and God removed any deception that I had of me being worthy, and I really saw that I didn't deserve anything, and then I experienced His unconditional love. Once I understood that, it's not been hard for me to turn around and forgive other people regardless of what they've done to me because I've received it. I've experienced this. I have an unconditional love that is functional and operative in my life, and because of that, I can forgive and operate in mercy towards other people. Some of you, the very reason that you aren't walking in love is because you've never received it yourself. You can't give away what you don't have. Look at these verses in 1 John chapter 4. In verse 7 it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Man, these are powerful, powerful statements. If we just understood what the Bible was talking about right here by the word love, that would solve a lot of problems. But today, the word love is used so cheaply. You'll see movies and people talking about that they love this person, and they'll turn around and hate them and get mad and yell things at them that nobody should do. They'll get mad because they thought they committed adultery on them, and they'll fight and they'll do all this. And we have had love so misunderstood. But this is talking about an agape God kind of love, an unconditional love, a pure love, a love that's not based on the person, the object of your love being worthy of it. If you could just understand what this is saying, that that's who God is, that would solve all of the problems in our life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Faith works by love." If you really understood how much God loved you, your faith would just go through the roof. If you really knew that God is love, and if you felt that love unconditionally, you could believe God for anything. No reservations. But people say, "Oh yeah, I know that God loves me," but then they're in worry, they're in fear, they're just oppressed and depressed. There is no faith working in their life. Everything in their life is saying that they don't know God's love. There's a difference between knowing about God's love and knowing God's love. As a matter of fact, these very verses where it says, "He that loveth not is knoweth not God," these very verses are talking about know in a way different than what most of our Western mentalities do. We talk about the word know means you've just got facts, information, knowledge. But in the Eastern culture that the Bible was written in, this is talking about an experiential knowledge. For instance, it says that Adam knew his wife Eve and that she conceived and had a child. It's talking about an intimate, close, personal relationship. So this isn't talking about just mental understanding, knowledge. This is talking about knowing God intimately, personally. And look at this again. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now, the average person that reads this has been contaminated by religion, and they've been taught these verses, I believe, exactly opposite of what they mean. In other words, it's like a spiritual dyslexia. You know, dyslexia is when a person sees something with their eyes, but in their brain it gets reversed. So that instead of seeing G-O-D, God, a dyslexic person will see D-O-G, dog. There is a huge difference between God and dog. But that's dyslexia. You see things backwards. Well, there is a condition I call spiritual dyslexia, where people read this backwards. What this verse is actually saying is that you can tell if a person knows God because it will be manifest in their life. If a person really knew God, since God is love, then they would love other people. In other words, it's what I've been saying during this program. You can't give away what you don't have. One reason people are so mean is because they've never received an unconditional love, so they can't give it. But if a person was to experience it, if they knew God, if they knew love intimately, closely, if it was a revelation in their life, then loving other people would be a byproduct. That's what these verses are saying, and yet religion reverses it. And they read it this way. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Well, I want to know God. I want to be born of God. So what do I have to do? Oh, I have to love other people. And then they start saying loving other people is like treating the Samaritan, the good Samaritan that helped this person. You got to help your neighbor. You got to do this good work. You got to do this. You got to turn the cheek. If somebody commands you to bear a burden 1 mile, you got to carry it 2 miles. And they start putting all of these rules down and say, if you will do this and this and this and this, then you will love other people. And that will cause you to know God and be loved of God. No, it's saying the exact opposite. Loving other people isn't the way to know God, but knowing God's love for you causes you to love other people. There's some people that didn't get that, even though I tried to explain it. You got spiritual dyslexia. Loving people does not cause God to love you, but knowing that God loves you causes you to love other people as a result. And if you just keep reading, it'll say these exact same things. In verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." How do you really define love? Is it by what we do to God or for God? No, it's what He did for us. That's what this is saying. Herein is love, not that we loved God. Now, I'm not saying that we don't love God and that we don't do things in response, but I'm saying that love cannot be defined by us doing things to others. It has to be defined by God sending His Son for us. That's the greatest example of love. Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Again, people with spiritual dyslexia will say, well, I want God to dwell in me, and I want His love to be perfected in me. So what do I have to do? And we say, we have to love one another. And again, they start defining that and putting all these rules down. That's opposite. What this is saying is that God dwells in us and His love is perfected in us when we love one another. It's not the loving one another that causes God's love to come as a result of our actions, but our actions are a result of God's unconditional love for us. You know, I just can't overemphasize this. Again, I don't know if I'm getting this across. I don't know if my words are adequate. But I can guarantee you that this is at the root of many people who are watching this program. This is at the root of your dissatisfaction and discontentment. You are doing all of these things, but you are doing these things hoping that in response to you, God will love you. God will show you a favor. God will bless you and prosper you. And that is wrong, wrong, wrong. That is spiritual dyslexia. What you've got to do is just receive God's grace by faith, not by performance, not through your actions, not by your righteousness. You just receive it that God loves you because the Bible declares that He does, and you receive it by faith, independent of your actions. You don't let your actions make you get puffed up with pride and think God owes it to you, nor do you let your actions condemn you and say that you can't be a receiver of God's love. You just divorce yourself from those actions and say, God loves me independent of my actions. And I'm going to believe that and I'm going to receive it. And if you can do that, then you begin to experience in an intimate, close, personal way the love of God. And that will result in you loving other people. But that's the byproduct. You can't look at the byproduct as the way to relationship with God. It is a byproduct of relationship with God. And I'm telling you, this is where so many Christians today are missing it. Religion as a whole teaches that it's all based on your performance. And again, I've said this over and over, but I know that there's people that just pass the dial and listen one day and stuff, but I am not encouraging sin. My life, yeah, I'm living a holy life by comparison to other people. And I am not living an ungodly lifestyle. I'm not encouraging that. Anybody who takes what I'm saying and goes out and preaches that I'm just encouraging people to sin is either a liar or you have totally missed what I'm saying. But I am saying that God loves you completely separate from your performance. And if the only reason that you try and live right is because you're afraid of God and you're trying to earn or appease an angry God, if that's your only motive, well then, you've blown it. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you give all of your goods to feed the poor, or if you give your body to be burned and don't do it motivated by charity, God's kind of love, it profits you nothing. It might profit some other people. Your charitable service might help somebody else, but it's not going to change you. It's not going to help you. And this is where so many quote-unquote Christians are. They're doing all of these works trying to do those things in order to get God to love them and to appease an angry God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus bore the wrath of God. He has separated us from our sins, and now God isn't mad at you. God loves you unconditionally, and it's just a matter of you humbling yourself and receiving it as a gift. Man, that's powerful. And if you could understand that, it would light a fire under you to serve God. Since God showed me His unconditional love for Him, I am serving Him more today than I have ever served Him in my life. You know, I've mentioned this briefly before, but I was an introvert by nature. I couldn't look at a person in the face and talk to them. But I was so wanting God's power in my life that I psyched myself up. I went through courses where I was trained to be a soul winner. And I learned all of these techniques. I haven't got time to go through it and tell you, but you could go in and they taught us how to make conversation. You see a picture of a horse on the wall and you know that this person's bound to love animals. And so I love animals. And so we start talking about horses and find something in common. And you get a door open and then eventually you just slip in the gospel. And if you present it properly and you say, now, is there any reason that you don't want to pray and let Jesus come into your life right now? If you do it correctly, there's not very many people that would say, yes, I just want to go to hell. Leave me alone. They will pray. They may not be believing. They may not be ready to make the commitment, but you can basically get them to pray. And then I had a prayer that I had them recite after me, and after I got through, I'd take their spiritual scalp to church and hang it on my belt, and everybody would pat me on the back for all the people that I led to the Lord. I was doing that. But did you know, in my heart, I was still an introvert, and I would have to psych myself up. I remember one night sitting out in the rain in my car. This was in Texas, and I mean, I had the engine off, and my windows all fogged up. I couldn't see anything because I was in there so long trying to psych myself up to go and talk to a total stranger and try and witness to them and get them born again. I would have to do things to get me built up and do this. And yet in my heart, the whole time I was talking to him, I was thinking, oh God, don't let him ask me any questions. Don't let me, you know, I didn't want to have to personally minister to him. I was born again, but I didn't have a deep relationship with the Lord. I was doing this not because I love those people. I love myself. And I wanted the pat on the back. And I thought if I got enough people to pray after me that maybe God would start answering some of my prayers. And I was doing it to earn the favor of God, not because I had it and was willfully sharing it with other people. And so the whole time I'd be talking to people, I'd be praying, oh God, let me just get through this and get out of here and get their scalp and go back to church and tell people all of the great things that I've done. That's what I was thinking. I was praying, oh God. I'd actually walk up to doors and I used to pray, oh God, don't let there be anybody home. Because you know what? I got credit for trying. If I knocked on the door and they weren't home, I could still mark it down that I made so many visits, but I wasn't able to really make a contact with the person, and I still got credit. And that's all I was after. I was after credit. I didn't care about these people. I hate to admit that, but I'm just saying that's the way it was. But then I had this experience where the Lord showed me that I was trusting in my own righteousness and showed me that it was no good. I humbled myself and repented. And when I was finally at my very worst and I didn't have any righteousness to claim, Then God showed me how much He loved me. And I understood that His love was unconditional. It wasn't based on what I did. And when that happened, I just transformed. Prior to that time, when I was forcing myself to go out and witness, I went out on Tuesday and Thursday nights and started a special night of visitation so that I could lead other people to the Lord. But I hated it, and I'd pray that they wouldn't be home, etc. Afterwards, I quit going out on Tuesday and Thursday night. And see, some people think, see, that's what that grace does to you. Well, the reason I quit going out on Tuesday and Thursday, I thought, man, I'm passing up hundreds of people every day. And I'm letting them go without any witness. Why do I have to go out on a special night to witness when I've got hundreds of people I see at school every day? And I just started witnessing to everything that moved. And instead of praying, God, don't let there be anybody home, I started praying, oh, God, help me to get past the houses where nobody's home and only lead me to the ones where people were there. People were shutting doors in my face and doing things. And I started using gimmicks. We came up with a survey card that we threw away when we got in the car. It was just a gimmick to get in. And people were shutting doors in my face. And I remember, I just determined. I said, I'm going to get in, talk to this next person. I don't care if I have to stick my foot in the door. And I stood on the door, knocked, and the person opened the door, and they had on one of those chains, and they only opened the door a little bit, and this woman looked at it, and she says, what do you want? And I said, oh, praise God, I finally found a Christian. I said, I'm so glad to be talking to a Christian. And this woman said, what makes you think I'm a Christian? Now, see, before, everybody tried to convince me they were a Christian. This woman was automatically on the other side. I'd already accomplished something. And I just said, well, you got this scripture on your fence out here. And this woman, boy, she took that door off the chain. She walked out on the porch and she says, what scripture on my fence? And I turned over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, beware of dogs. And I just kept reading. And I was able to read all the way to the bottom of that third chapter before this woman regained her composure and told me to leave and get out of there. But I use that to illustrate what a flip-flop. Prior to that time, I would witness, but I was doing it out of fear, trying to earn God's favor. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't love the people. I was doing just two or three visits on a Tuesday night and two or three visits on a Thursday night. But after I understood that God loved me unconditionally, once I'd received that love for myself, I started witnessing to everything, coming up with gimmicks, using everything I could to reach people. And I no longer turned in how many visits I made. I didn't care if anybody knew. I knew that God knew. And I loved these people. And I was trying to share the goodness of God with other people. I'm telling you, there's some people watching this program that you need a heart change just like I did. You need to quit doing the right things with the wrong motives. And you need to just accept God's love by grace through faith. And then once you receive this love, you'll turn around and start loving other people. You know, I'm out of time today, and today is going to be our last day to offer you these materials on living in the balance of grace and faith. I've got a brand new paperback book on that, as well as the hardcover. We've got a study guide. We've got a CD set, a DVD set, and an As Seen on TV DVD set. And today is my last day for all of this product, so please listen to our announcer as he gives you this information, and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD As Seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD As Seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled, God Loves Me Unconditionally, Free of Charge.
I want to remind you that today is our last day to make these products on Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith available. We've got a lot of products. Our announcer will share all that with you. I do make the teachings in this CD set available one at a time, free of charge, because there's some people who could not or would not send anything. And so we just suggest a donation, but for those who wouldn't send anything, we'll want to give this to you. I tell you, it'll change your life. And my partners have enabled me to do that. This is our last day to make any of these products available. Please call or write today and receive this teaching.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
While flipping TV channels in their home in Kathmandu, Nepal, Bob and Dawa Wesley stumbled across the Gospel Truth broadcast with Andrew Womack, and their lives were changed forever.
When I found out that how much God loved me and what He did for me, I started understanding the gospel, actually.
Desiring to fulfill God's call on their lives, Bob and Dawa moved to Colorado Springs and attended Caris Bible College. Then it was back to Nepal and back to work.
I started walking towards my office and I started seeing these two little boys, and their feet was cracked, and you know, their clothes were really, really dirty. I asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Feed them."
With that direction from God, their ministry was born, feeding the destitute boys of Kathmandu, both physically and spiritually.
I've always focused on sharing the gospel with these kids. And it is only the Word of God that changes the lives of the people. It is only the gospel.
Another changed life, changing the world. Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College.